If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. Yeah. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some teens play what they think is an innocent childhood mystery game, only discover they conjured up something very, very dark.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us 24/7. You can also go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and write it in right there. And of course, if you want to have access to all of our bonus episodes, all of our archive of episodes, which is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history, you want access to all of that, sign up to be a EPP, that's an extra podcast person, over at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month and you got your ticket to the largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. And we thank you for your support in that. It's Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. And what's going on in your world?
Oh, Tony. Not too much. I was hoping maybe you'd sing a little or...
Are we doing a little request tonight here?
It was funny because we talk on Skype.
Yeah.
So tonight when I picked up, Tony's like introducing Keith Sweat song. You're very good at that. So thank you.
No problem. I can find, it won't be Keith Sweat tonight. We don't want to overdo the Sweat Motel.
Sweat Lodge.
But here I think I can find something that would be entertaining. Let's see here. This will be a classic.
What will it be?
Let's see here. Okay, here we go. Ready? It's the Sweat Lodge. And tonight things are getting pretty fresh. We're getting to know one another on a deep level, more than you ever expected. Lionel will tell you what I want to say. Sing it.
I've been alone with you inside.
Is it me you're looking for?
There we go. What's that?
Hello?
Hello?
Is it me you're looking for?
Exactly. Gotta love a little bit of Lionel. Didn't you like eat at his house once or something back in the radio?
I did not eat at his house. There was somebody else who did.
Okay.
And I knew somebody else in radio who went to his house and listened to a record. In fact, he did a record with some country artists that was very good. They redid some of his songs. It's very good if you've never heard it.
Yeah.
But they went to that party and there was somebody who works in radio who like works across the country. But he showed up at Lionel Richie's house with a prostitute. And I know who that person was.
Well,
not anybody I've ever worked with, so that does not narrow it down. It could be anybody. But, who goes to Lionel Richie's house with a prostitute?
Keith Sweat does, baby. Yeah.
Say you, say me.
There you go.
Bring your prostitute
to my house. That's the way it should be.
Like, I'm going to, you know, here's the thing. Like, if you want to impress somebody, wouldn't you want to impress somebody you knew? Why would you, like, take some random prostitute? Like, look at me. I can get a hooker. I've got that kind of money.
I can get a hooker and show up at Lionel Richie's house for the radio buffet. Wow. That's I guess, one to put down on your calling card of things that you have done. I mean, not you, but that.
I haven't. I was not the hooker. Let's just make that straight.
That's how you
I
got
was
to.
Not at the party. You were... I was not the hooker. I just know the person who brought the hooker. I know of that person.
I'm glad it's clarified. I'm glad. Is it anyone I know?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's go to our first ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. First one says, my name is Joanne. Signed up to be an EPP member last week. I do have stories to tell. A couple I wanted to share today. My first brush with the other side, and I am not sure if I would call this paranormal or not, but as you know, children do silly things. We were around maybe 10 to 12 years old. A bunch of us girls were having a sleepover. When nighttime came, some of the girls were wanting to play a game called Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. This is when somebody would lay on the ground and there would be four girls around, the person on the ground, one of us on each shoulder, and one in each leg or somewhere around there. It's been a long time, so I'm not sure I remember the specifics. You then start to chant Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board. At this point, if it were done right, the person on each side of the person lying on the ground would use only two fingers to raise the body of that person on off the ground. Believe me, it works. We did it a few times before it was my turn to be one of the four girls lifting. As we were doing this, I looked out of the window and I saw a figure of what I can only call a devil at that age. It was tall as the window was high, up and scary looking. It had horns. It scared all of us, and I know I was not the only person who saw it. As we all scrambled out of the room after pointing at it, there was no one outside. I never did that again. I believe both my husband and I are sensitive. In my husband's earlier years, he was taught the way of white magic through a friend of his. She has since passed on, but did teach him the way to fly, as he would call it when he was asleep. He mentioned at one time that his friend's husband was in the hospital in another state. Since he could not see him in person, he flew in his sleep state to see him. Later that day, she called my husband to ask him if he was there, as she sensed him. He told her that he was and told her what he was wearing, as she was in the room with her husband at the time. I've always found that fascinating, but dangerous. If you do not get back to your body in time, you could die, or so I heard. I could never do it myself, but he did say a few times that he would fly and come back with scratches and minor injuries, as he always had trouble landing. He did say that he landed in a desert one time when he was flying and got tangled up in some weeds. And when he woke up, he was all scratched up. I said, I bet that hurt. And he kind of laughed and said he was sore when he woke up. Well, that's interesting.
I don't know if I buy that.
I don't know if I buy the I'm getting scratched up in weeds. I mean,
it seems kind of time travel-y to me. Yeah. And I don't. Time travel is the one thing I cannot wrap my brain around.
I believe that there's a way to, like, astral project and things like that. And so I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but this idea
not
of...
I ended up in the desert.
No, I don't... That part seems a little different.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But...
With all respect to that person.
Yeah.
That seems a little... You know, and we listen to a lot of crazy stories on this show.
Yes.
That one seems particularly odd to me.
I would agree. I think the astral projection possibility, but the I'm getting stuck in weeds, that's I don't know. That one seems a little bit much.
Yeah, and because here's the thing, that maybe there's another secret. Like maybe he got scratched up in a whole other way. And it's like, Well, there I was. You know what I'm saying?
I think I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think you're saying that quite possibly he wasn't necessarily astral projecting at all. He was more so out enjoying the nights. Having a good time with the boys and the girls. Not really knowing when to stop.
Play on, play on, play on, play on.
It just kept going and going and...
All night long.
It's Lytle on Light FM. Well, my friends, the time
is cool. I'm just saying.
Just saying. Yeah. That's something to
Which
think
would
about.
Take some balls for somebody to be like, Well, I'll get her to believe this. Now, maybe, you know, he really did come down in a desert somewhere and whatever. But to me, I would go to the logical explanation first.
Yeah.
Which isn't that.
That's quite a story to tell someone and expect them to just be okay with it. I don't know. It seems a little... What do you think about her ghost portion of the story, though, prior to her husband crash landing?
Now, that could have something to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, that one could definitely... Yeah, mm-hmm. I have no problem with that story.
I've never played that game, the light as a feather, or stiff as a board, light as a feather, whatever it's called. Did you ever do that one?
No. No, I never did that one. But, you know, there's all those, and you hear all kinds of stories of people that have done similar kind of games mm-hmm. and have had very weird things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that you've heard enough stories like that, that there has to be some truth to that.
You know, it makes me wonder, because I remember back, you know, being a kid and, you know, hear like some, you know, the girls had a sleepover the other night and they're all swearing to God that they played that game and it worked. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. I'm wondering, you look back on that, how many of those stories were true? it did work and no one would ever believe it, but it worked.
And I think there's something to be said about when you're 12-ish years old and you're playing a game like that, that one person buys into it. And then because you're all 12, nobody wants to be the person who's like, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think that could, I definitely think there can be power in things like that.
I do too. I just wish I was witness to one of those games working as a child, but maybe at the same time, I'm grateful I'm not. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another letter. It says, hello, I am Miss Gareth, and I'm an EPP. Love all your podcasts, but can only afford to one. So I wanted to write in about an experience I had while at work. I work in a lab that has many odors. I've been exposed to these odors for over 20 years. So not only can I no longer smell them, but I cannot smell much unless it's strong. I always tell people I don't smell good. I need to change that phrase. When they ask if I smell a certain odor anyway, less than 6 months ago, I was in my lab where I work alone. I suddenly realized I was smelling the scent of my father's pipe tobacco, cherry whiskey. My father passed away in 2012 and he had stopped smoking the pipe at least 10 years before his death. Smelling the scent brought me joy and comfort because my siblings and I always talked about liking the scent when talking to our father, who though somewhat distant from most of us due to PTSD, we always felt his love, strength, and security. He was in the Army and served in Korea and twice in Vietnam. After about an hour, I realized the scent was still present, and I thought it was odd. I figured it must have been from a resident from a retirement community that's right behind our clinic building. There's a door to the outside right next to where I was sitting. I just figured it had the scent had coated my nose cavity, so I still smelt it. About this time, I heard the DJ on the radio, three of them discussing their fathers. It hit me that I must have been experiencing my father's presence. Like many of you, I don't believe in coincidence. I had to sit and think about why he would need to visit me. Although I always feel stress and anxiety, I'm being treated for depression. My mother was always the one I would go to, and she passed away in 2007. But writing this now, maybe they were both there, and that was their way to let me know that they were there. I hope that I smell that scent again. Although I'm not an empath of any kind, I've coupled more experiences I'll soon write in, this one being my second. Love your podcast, and several make me remember events that happened to me. One day I'll ask my siblings about the three-level house we once lived in when I was five because it was supposedly haunted by Civil War soldiers. But I have little memory of anything weird. But I've been known to suppress memories. Take care. Creepy story. Thoughts?
Was that Miss Garrett said?
That's what she said.
I liked that. This is Miss Garrett. And she doesn't smell well. That would be easy. You know, that's one of those things to me that's happened. Like, I've had that experience, as a lot of people have.
Yep.
And I think that's really interesting, especially you're at work and you're thinking about work. You're into your own thing. And then you smell a really familiar smell. And we talked about that recently with pipe scent.
Yep.
That smell, it's so distinct.
Mm-hmm.
That to smell that.
Yeah.
Associated with her dad. I always just think that's who it is. And maybe it's nothing more than dad wanting her to know that, hey, I'm still here and I'm watching out after you or whatever. But, you know, to me, you're not just at work doing your thing and all of a sudden you smell that one smell that's really associated with your father.
And it's not a common smell anymore either.
No.
I mean, most people don't walk around
with
pipes.
There's people who have never smelled that pipe smell before.
But when you know it, you know it. And for many of us, it was like one person kind of, and it was a very specific thing. I had it with my mom's dad, and he would smoke that cherry tobacco pipe, and it was very, very specific. And the only other time I've ever smelled it was when I was in that antique store, and it suddenly came out of nowhere, and then it was gone. And there was nobody around me. It was really weird. And I don't necessarily think it was him, but I think there was an object or something in there that had something connected with it that certainly did smoke it, but it wasn't necessarily permeated into the object, because that was my first suspicion. I thought, well, there's something here that has this smell. But going back, it was just gone. And it's there. It's there. You know it. It's so distinctive a smell. And that's where I can totally relate to that story, too. Thank you for sharing that one.
Miss Garrett. I like that. She has all my respect. If you write in and say you're Mr. Brewski or Miss Garrett, it's like you got my respect. Yeah. Absolutely.
I also kind of fear that I'm going to get like sent to the principal's office or something as well as I'm reading the story. It's like, stop, go back, read that line again. I'm sorry, Miss Garrett. I'm sorry. I did that wrong. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, I am from Pennsylvania, and my name is Jennifer, and I grew up in a house that was over 100 years old, probably closer to 150, that has a really bizarre kind of history, where at one point it was, part of it was a horse supply store. And in Scranton, Pennsylvania, there's really kind of a depressive history there of a lot of coal mining and iron ore mining and steam engines, just a lot of suffering on the backs of immigrants. In fact, both of my great-grandfathers died in their 50s of black lung disease, unfortunately. There's also a lot of history of alcoholism and just depression in that area. Just to kind of paint a picture of the culture. And down at the end of the block where I grew up, was a little cemetery, in fact, that had gravestones dating back to, I can remember the oldest one I saw was the 1700s. So many of them were kind of worn away, so you could barely see what they said, but you could still make that out. So there was just so much culture that this city was steeped in my neighborhood especially. And my house where I grew up, my family owned two homes. We had a bigger house, where I grew up, and then a smaller house that we actually called the little house, that was down the end of our property, beginning with another property. And the little house, I had several generations of family actually lived and passed that down to us. And the bigger house my grandparents had purchased when they were a young couple, raised their kids there. I grew up with my grandma and grandpa and my brother and my sister. My grandpa died when I was about 10 years old, and he's really the only dad I ever knew. The big house that I grew up in was an old colonial style home. And during the day, it was fine, very old, but fine. But at night, I was terrified all the time. And there was really no explanation for it as far as my very Catholic family was concerned. My grandmother was not one to have a whole lot of compassion. She would say, if you're scared, pray to Jesus and he'll protect you. Kind of not what you want to hear when you're a little one, just wanting validation that there's nothing to be scared of, but, you know, Catholics. So I was always terrified to sleep at night. When it was time for bed, I had a lot of trauma involved in that process. And I would often scream and cry in the dark, just terrified to be alone. In fact, you know, because of that house, to this day, as an adult, I still need a nightlight on. I still have that fear of the dark. But I didn't see a lot. I didn't see a lot to be scared of growing up, but I heard things. And And the things that I did see, I could never quite be certain if I was fully awake when they were happening or if I was half awake and half asleep. So I had to kind of write them off as, well, it could just be dreaming, just imagining things, you know. But there are things that I heard. There was something that would happen almost every night when I was a little girl, where I'd be laying in bed and this feeling of time slowing down or some sort of bizarre, like I was, you know, floating in molasses all of a sudden, would start to come over me. And I would hear this weird sound that felt like it was sort of in my ear or at my neck or like even in my head and all around me. It was a bizarre sound. I don't know how to describe this exactly, but I don't even know how to describe it. I'm going to have to do it, which is kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to do it. But it would start fast and then it would slow down and then it would disappear. And it went kind of like this. It would start out as, and then it would slow down and then stop. And then I felt like I could move again properly. And I wasn't asleep. I was fully awake and I stayed awake after that always for a long time before I could fall asleep. So it wasn't like a sleep paralysis thing. I have no idea what it was, but it would happen almost every night. And I would dread it, but it would just be so normal that I knew it was coming and it was inevitable and it would happen and then it would be done. Another thing that happened to me when I was a kid was I was laying in bed, as per usual, this stuff always happened then, and because the house was so old, everything was wood, and very loud wood. You cannot sneak up or down those stairs and get away with it. I'm laying in bed, it's very late, everybody's asleep, at least I think they are, and I hear very deliberate footsteps, one right after the other, loudly coming upstairs and stopping at the landing at the top. If you proceeded down the hall up there, nobody would miss it. Super loud. And I waited for whoever it was to pick a destination, pick a bedroom. And instead nothing happened. They just stood there. I thought, well, maybe my grandmother's come up the stairs, gotten distracted by something at the top of the stairs, and she's still there looking at it or doing something. But, of course, even in my young head, I thought, I need some reassurance. Something feels off. And so I got out of bed. I was going to go check. And so I did. I walked down the hall, stopped at the landing. Of course, nothing was there. So I went into the nearest bedroom just to peek and see. It was pitch black and snoring, and there was no signs of life in there. I would have heard somebody go into any of the bedrooms, but I hadn't heard anything. That being said, I didn't see anything definitively. I would say the most profound thing that happened in that house, though, did not happen to me. It happened to my little brother, who... his soul died in 2012 when he was 25 years old. But when he was a teenager, and they were no longer living in that home, I was living out of state, moved on with my life, but my brother was living with my grandmother and my little sister in the other family home, the little family home that we owned. He used to sneak up to the big house and he'd break in during the day and he would plant himself in the living room in front of an old black and white TV and get some channels to come in and watch TV there to escape the family life that he was enduring. And what happened to him is something that I still think about to this day. He wasn't the type to talk much, so he certainly didn't tell stories or tales. He just pretty much kept to himself. But when this happened, he freaked out and he told me and my sister about it. And, he said he was sitting there watching TV and he thought he heard somebody say his name. So he turned off the TV and he listened and he said he heard it again. It was a female voice that he said sounded really alluring, like, you know, melodic, that said, John, come upstairs. His name is John. And so, of course, he was freaked out enough, but he also wanted there to be like a rational explanation. So he certainly wasn't about to rush upstairs, but he did go to the bottom of the stairs, and he said that he listened again. And this time he said the female voice said, John Peter, come upstairs, come to your room. And at that point, he didn't even have a room in that house. And who this person was, he could not imagine. Nobody should have been in that house. No one was living there. It was abandoned. It was in desperate need of help, that house. So, of course, he was terrified. And so he said that he ran to the back door and almost ripped it off its hinges to get out, and then jumped from the second story deck to escape. Ran down to the little house where they had been living, banged on the door, and when our grandmother answered, he said, your damn house is haunted. And didn't want to go back up there anymore. So, that's probably about it for the paranormal experiences I've had. It's not anything amazing, but I did have, I feel like, kind of a hellish, tormented childhood in that house for reasons that I still to this day cannot exactly explain at night, why I was so frightened, why I heard those strange noises and felt those odd things. But the fact that my brother experienced something so bizarrely profound later in life doesn't surprise me. If there is a ghost in that house, or if there is something dark in that house, I would not be surprised. My family has a history of a lot of trauma, a lot of just darkness and suffering and grief and, you know, alcoholism. So, I would not want to live in that house. I would not want to do any kind of Ouija board stuff in that house or anything like that. God knows what's there. But anyway, that's my story. I hope it's not too rambling. And I hope it's interesting. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to me. I love your show. Keep up the awesome work. And you help my work day go by faster. Take care, guys. Stay healthy. Bye.
Playing a better variety of ghost stories for your work day. Ghost FM.
With Jennifer. So I think she could, like, switch the story in her brain from if the house had something dark in it to the house had something dark in it. I don't think there's a lot of if about
words
that.
Matter.
There wasn't a lot of questioning, I don't think, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's the scariest stuff, is the stuff that you don't see.
Yeah.
The stuff that you just hear. And that happens to a lot of people. That happened to me, laying in bed and hearing someone walking around. Mm-hmm. You know, I never did see that person walking around it. Well, whatever it was, it obviously wasn't a person,
yeah.
Whatever it was. But, you know, that's scary. And then, you know, someone like her brother who, you know, was going into that house to escape,
mm-hmm.
like to get, which is weird. So there, I don't know why, but the fact that someone would talk to him in that house just doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
But it would be scary as shit. Like, that would be scary. Like, why weren't they living in the big house? Why was everybody living in the little house by then? Well, because yeah. There was something dark in the big house.
Yeah. You know, she looks at it and she's asking, you know, I don't know why those things were happening. I don't know that there's always a reason as to why, you know, I don't believe in coincidences, but I also think sometimes things just happen, you know, without necessarily that was going to make you stronger for something else. I'm sure naturally any of that would make you stronger for something else, but I don't know that necessarily having experiences like that always are, you know, in preparation for that. Sometimes no. It's just shitty things in weird places.
And you lived in a haunted house.
Yeah.
So, and that's a thing. I think that most of us who have lived in one, and I would imagine most of the stories we've heard on this program, they're not like explainable. Well, then we found out that in 1812, Bob mm-hmm. died.
Yeah.
Ebenezer, so-and-so. You know, it's like, you never find out this. There's no, like, wrapped up in a little bow answer for you.
No.
I think you just sense it, and you know it's there. And then sometimes I think people can get an idea of what happened,
mm-hmm.
maybe. But I don't think most of them come with an explanation.
No, it does not happen all the time. And sometimes it's just you had the experience and, you know, grow from it. But it's there's not necessarily a rhyme or reason to it. You just happen
but
to
I
be
think
there.
That she lived. It wasn't if it was a dark house. It was.
It was a dark house.
So she has to change the way she thinks about it.
Yeah, not and remove the questioning of if this happened or all that. It happened.
Because I think that definitely, I'm. Why would her brother tell that story?
Yeah.
Of all stories, what do you have to gain from telling a story like that? So yeah, that yeah. happened to him.
Yeah. Thank you for calling that one in and sharing all of that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, our EPP bonus episodes, the ebook, the audiobook. It's all there for you as well. Thank you in advance for your support. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.